Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Steve Balton. Welcome back to My Turning Point, where this week, co-host Sage Bava and I had a wonderful conversation with the amazing Bishop Briggs. I've been friends with Bishop for years, and it was an instant love fest between Bishop and Sage, as you would imagine. So, really fun conversation between all three of us. Hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
Yeah, I've been doing some of these interviews with Steve, and I was so excited that you were chatting with Steve and you guys go way back. So it's an honor to.
Oh my God. Well, I need to look up your music.
No, okay, dude. She's way too shy and she's not nearly aggressive enough, but she did a fucking killer cover of Superhuman that's on her Instagram last night. That's what I was getting at, you doofus.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, I'll look it up.
Thank you, babe. I was just messing around at our.
And what is your Instagram?
Farm. Sage, S-A-G-E, Bava. It's just my name, which is in my little Zoom thing, but okay, I was on a total Bishop Briggs haul yesterday.
What? Oh my God. Thank you so much. Okay. I'm going to check it out after this.
Yeah, it's really freaking awesome. So how the hell are you doing? I hear, speaking of covers, it's funny because, so I saw a snippet of one you did last night, which, I saw a snippet of one, I don't know when you did it, but you know, it's funny because I put out a book in October called Anthems We Love, which actually does feature Gerard talking about Welcome to the Black Parade.
Oh my God. Oh, my favorite.
I love that dude so much. The first two people to say yes to this book were Gerard and Barry Manilow.
Oh my God. Wow. What contrasting individuals, but also I'm sure they have a lot more in common than we realize.
So there's so much to talk about with you. We're going to just, knock this out with but how the hell did this happen? And has it been super weird and surreal and,
Oh, it has been the coolest thing ever. And the most difficult thing to keep a secret. I thought I was a good secret keeper until this happened. And I have just been chewing my fingernails, wanting to reveal everything.
Well, now what? You have 24 more hours until you can reveal everything?
Yes. Yes. And even us talking about it, I'm like, okay, is this real? Can I be open about this? Yeah. So 24 hours.
Trust me. I signed away my kidney, my firstborn, everything to, for them to tell me about it. They were if you tell anyone, we're going to chop your head off and, feed it to the wolves, which Sage is threatening to do too. So there's that as well. But yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
So, it's fun for you, for you, when you get to do something like this, has it been really fun to inhabit these songs?
Oh, yes. And I think what was really exciting about the experience was as I progressed in the competition, it felt like I got to really dive into songs that meant a lot to me on my personal journey. you know, Take Me to Church by Hozier, and, you know, Sia as an artist, and then Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance, and then Someone Like You by Adele. It's like, it felt like it started off in, you know, ABBA night, you know, that's where it began. And then I feel like I got to show a bit more of, you know, who I am as an artist.
All right, I'm letting Sage jump in 1 second, but it's really funny because I actually also did Hozier, Take Me to Church, for the book, which actually is going to be in the next volume, but also great Adele story. I interviewed her for AOL Sessions when 21 came out, and it was one of the first live performances she did of Someone Like You. And at the time, it's a crew of all guys, and they're all sitting there bawling. And I love this, one of my favorite comments of all time. And Sage has heard the story, and she's just like, and Adele was like, I was telling her in the interview, and she's like, it's so easy to make men cry. So did you make guys cry with Someone Like You?
Well, I do think that is the effect of Adele. You know, that is what her star quality is. I hope that people felt touched by the music, but, you know, having grown men cry, that does feel very Adele specific. But I tried my best to, you know, evoke emotion, and it was a very, just to be totally transparent, it was very daunting and intimidating, and I hope I did it justice. That's, you know, but my dad has told me I'm not allowed to read any comments, so who knows, but hopefully, you know, it was okay.
Your dad is a smart, smart man, because yeah. Stay the fuck away from the internet. It's an evil place.
Yeah.
All right. My last question, and then Sage, you can jump in. Well, not my last question, but the last one on this topic is, I'm so curious too. I mean, when you're doing it in costume, it's funny because I talk about this with actors all the time. Do you feel like you're taking on a part? Did you become Medusa, whatever the hell that is?
Ooh. Well, I feel really lucky that there was an energy about Medusa that I gravitate towards as a performer. So it felt like I got to just be myself, the person that I am on stage, you know, I got to inhabit that. But the thing that I did miss that I couldn't do while wearing a mask was when the song would finish, like, all I want to do is show that I am crying, show that I am smiling, show that I'm relieved, show, you know, and all of that comes out of, you know, your face when you're finished singing. So I did miss that element of it, but there is something really, powerful about Medusa that I'm grateful for that I could connect to.
Wait, okay. Sage, you can jump in 1 second, but you know, it's funny because I asked you about the making grown men cry, but I was telling the Sage the story of seeing you at No Vacancy and doing High Water, and how you made everybody in the fucking place ball, including me.
Oh, thank you. I can't believe you came to that. That was the coolest thing ever.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't I come to that? We've been friends for years, and it was freaking awesome.
Thank you. It means a lot.
Cool. Sage, all you.
So when you were choosing these songs that you've loved for years, did you go into it knowing exactly what you wanted to do with them and that was what was born? Or did it surprise you that you found something else within the song and it ended up taking a whole different direction?
Well, it's interesting because the part of it that I had to take into consideration was I might not make it to the next round. So what is a song that I can put enough of myself into, or hopefully all of myself into, that if I leave, I'll feel proud of, or I'll feel like I've given it my all. So it was really important to make sure I made it my own as much as I could. And so that was really my goal. And by the way, it was really similar to performing at a show. You know, you never know if it's going to be your last show. You never know if it's someone's first time seeing you. You never know. So there was that element of it, that pressure for sure.
What was your favorite song of all of the different arrangements and choices?
That's so hard. But oh, it's really hard. I felt a really deep connection singing New York, New York, because my because I grew up hearing my dad sing that song, and I did a acoustic version of it. And that intimacy is something that that's why, you know, that moment that Steve is talking about of singing High Water in this intimate venue, those are the moments that really stick with you, that you feel as though someone is really seeing your soul. And with the other songs, I love that I get to perform and put myself out there and hopefully show a side of myself that's confident and daring. But the part of me that just is standing there and exposing my soul and spirit, that's the moments that I really cherish and hold on to. I just remembered as I was saying this, Take Me to Church by Hozier was so much fun. Oh God. I feel like that might be the middle ground where I got to feel that intimacy, feel that emotion, but I did get to run around. But if we talk about this long enough, I will name every song. I know I can feel myself doing it. So yeah, New York, New York.
Wait, now I got to jump in. Are you seeing Hozier at the Troubadour on the 31st?
I didn't know that he was playing at the Troubadour.
Yes, he's doing an underplay. I love that dude. He's a great dude, and we're going, so you should go so we can all say hello.
May 31st?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm making a note. That would be at the Troubadour.
Yeah. Which is like my favorite venue in the world anyway, so yeah.
Same. Okay, wow. Okay, great.
So wait, let's jump onto the EP now because, you know, again, there's so much to always talk about. And, you know, I loved what you said about baggage. Sorry, my dog just did like a massive thump on the floor. I got distracted. He's like, boom. But anyway, you know, it's interesting for you. At what point have you started to own your baggage and realize that, you know, because again, what you're saying too about, you know, the fact that people appreciate you opening up, it's always true. Sage and I talk about this all the time. As an artist, the most important thing is to be authentic. And that means, yeah, we're all fucked up.
Right.
Every one of us.
Right. Yeah, I'm still a work in progress. You know, I feel like some days I feel super empowered at this idea of really sharing how my day is going. And then the next day I feel completely debilitated by it. You know, I think that's just the lovely washing machine of being a human. But I felt really inspired when writing Baggage to own this side of myself that was saying, hey, here is everything that's going on, like as if it was a first date. And I was like, if I'm going to go out with this person again, I might as well say what's coming. I might as well say, hey, like, here is what's happened. Here's how it's affected me. Here is my baggage. And, you know, with that being said, I feel like we all have different interpretations of what our baggage is. You know, there's something that I could come to you guys sharing as my baggage, and you're like, wait till I show you what I have, you know, like, wait till I show you what I've been going through. So I feel like there's this connection that we all sort of have with our baggage.
What's interesting, and then Sage, you're up in a second. I just want to ask a follow up on this is, it's funny. Do you feel like writing High Water then and opening up about your sister and having that vulnerability has allowed you to tap into more of your openness as a writer? And now all of a sudden you can feel like, and again, obviously you had such amazing response to that song. And does that empower you to then be like more vulnerable because other people are like, yeah, we identify.
Right. There is that book, The Artist's Way. And there's this section in it where it talks about just writing to write. And even if you write that day and nothing comes of it and you feel like it was a waste, that song or that lyric or that melody that you came up with that particular day can lead you to the next idea. And so with that being said, I feel that distinctly with those songs, because I remember recording High Water and being like, why am I doing this to myself? I mean, this is so difficult and confusing and feels like the opposite of therapy. I feel as though I'm going backwards. But now that I have done that, it allowed me to lean into that part of myself that does exist, that, you know, is very, I mean, the majority of myself, I mean, the entirety of myself is not perfect. So admitting that. And I do feel like we're in a really cool time with the new generation where they're leaning into imperfections, they're wearing pimple patches, they're posting unfiltered things. Like there is a shift that's happening, and we either, you know, revolt against it and, you know, or we lean in and, you know, see how it feels. And it does feel better than presenting something inauthentic and then making other people feel as if they are unhinged for having difficult days and years.
Well, I love that. And I also think that it applies so much musically as well, because again, you know, we've talked about this, like, you know, people want imperfections in music. People also want organics.
Right.
And okay, Sage, you're up in 1 second. Bishop, what's your most vulnerable song of all time? The one song that, just since we're talking about vulnerability and song, and as a backstory to this, Sage and I are working on a project together, which is a blast, all about music and spirituality. And dude, we've literally talked with everyone already, from Willie Nelson and Ann Margaret to like ASAP Rocky and Moby and on, you know, people love talking about this stuff. But, and one of the things, of course, is which song brings you closest to the universe. So, and I think it's very much a vulnerability song. Like for me, it's like when you hear Dylan, if you see her, say hello. That's the song for me. Or Joni Mitchell, A Case of You, where you just shake your head and like,
oh my God.
Or Nick Drake. But you, what's your song, your most vulnerable song that brings you closest to the universe?
Ooh. Hmm. Can I say two?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
You can name 25 if you want.
Okay, great. So High Water, for sure, right off the bat, feels like, goes without saying, because I was sharing about the darkest time in my life and still something that I'm grieving and struggling with. I think it would have to be, and then the, you know, follow-up would be I Tried. And it's this song that's on Champion, and it's technically a demo. And it was about my partner before he found sobriety. And I am just saying some stuff about his family and him. And it's to this day, I still show up to the family, because we're still together. You know, I still show up to the family reunion, and I'm just, I feel sort of, I probably shouldn't be giving attention to it, but I feel very exposed with that song in particular. And it's a very distinct chapter in our relationship. And there's no hiding in it, because it's just guitar and vocal, and it's one take all the way through. And when I recorded it, I left the room and I turned around and I said, well, that wasn't usable at all. I'm so sorry. Like, I had to go to the airport, which makes me sound fancier than I am. I'm not, but I had to go to the airport. And, the reason why I didn't want to use the take was because I was just crying the whole time. And I was just at the top of my head, just saying these lyrics. It just came pouring out. And yeah. And then when I listened back, I was like, I thought of that thing we're describing, which is, you know, the people that inspire me the most, they allowed their imperfections to stay in there, and they left it as is. You know, it wasn't about being perfect. So I Tried, which is titled I Tried, Prentice's Demo, and High Water. That's a
all
great
right. What about as a fan from another artist?
Oh God. Well, that's hard.
If you can't think of one, because we have limited time, you can always.
My instinct, because I was listening to it the other day, was Bridge Over Troubled Water. And then do you know the song Patches?
By who?
It's in the Muscle Shoals documentary.
Okay, and no, I'll have to check it out.
It's a really old school Motown song, and it's about growing up in the South. I mean, God, there's so many. There's so many.
Baby Rose.
My instinct is playlist, to go. So. My instinct
if you
is
can't think of any or whatever, you can always email me too. But I want to let Sage jump in. But okay, also, okay. I love your story so much. And Sage, I hope you were paying close attention, because Sage has this song on her EP called Intro and literally stopped me in my tracks like 4 times. And she has like 2 versions of it. I'm like, if you fucking change the song, I'm never speaking to you again.
Oh my God. Okay. See, you get it.
Yes. All right. Go for it. I'm going to let you guys go now.
I loved what you said earlier about how this generation is trying to be more open with imperfections, and it's all good things. And I really credit artists like you that paved that to be able to be a thing. Oh. Like, when did you step into that, or have you always just been brave with showing yourself to the world? Or was there a year or an experience that you were like, wait a minute, and you woke up to knowing that that was super important to you?
That's a great question. I feel like my life really changed once the Me Too movement happened, because I had all these secrets as a woman existing in the music business that I thought I was just supposed to keep to myself, and that I was supposed to just allow to happen. And when the Me Too movement happened, it was like, oh wow, like we've all gone through this, and here's that person's story. And there were so many things as a woman that I felt like I had to hide, even hiding confidence, because, you know, the men around me, you know, felt very intimidated by that and threatened by that. And realizing that life is really, really short. And when I worked with men that were feminists, that did believe in men and women being equal, I all of a sudden realized their favorite part of me was when I was my most confident self in the session, and when I shared my ideas. And I think the Me Too movement allowed that those men to step forward. And so I think that was a really big game changer, because there was this like positioning of self that I thought I had to do before. And maybe I did have to do before, where it was, you know, I didn't come up with an idea. We came up with the idea. You, sir, in the room came up with the idea. And so the minute that everyone came forward and they said, hey, that's really misogynistic, and hey, that's not okay, and where are the female engineers? And, you know, the minute that that conversation started happening, I all of a sudden felt like one of my biggest shames and secrets was now shared and, you know, could be let go.
I was so fascinated to learn about your upbringing and all the places you've lived and things you've seen. And do you feel like you think really differently than you find a lot of Americans or a lot of just people of the world, because you've experienced all these different amalgamations of places and now you've just have your own way of thinking and being? Do you think that that's part of where you come from?
I'm so obsessed with American culture that I could never find myself more worldly than the average American, because I grew up just admiring America and being fascinated by it. But what I will say is I really think it has everything to do with what's being played in your living room, because my mom and dad were these two Scottish people that were just obsessed with music. They loved Queen and the Beatles and Barry White and Carole King and Eva Cassidy. And I was talking to them recently about this, and they were saying that with me growing up, they said there was not a moment where music was not on. It was just the thing in the house. So I really think wherever we had ended up, that was the game changer for me in particular. And yeah, so I think that was a huge, huge difference.
So Steve mentioned the project that we're doing on spirituality and music. And one of the questions that I love asking is there a book or a ritual or something that you come back to that you found as a piece in this world that for you, it's a grounding, either information or someone else's writings or...
Ooh, I love how we're always on a time crunch and then I'm like extending it by trying to find things. Oh, there's so many here. Okay. We got there. Okay. So this is just straight off the bat. Okay. So Austin Kleon, he has another, one of his first books was Steal Like an Artist. This one's called Keep Going. And it's really easy to complete and finish, and it's really inspiring. And this is very good for creativity. Then this, Crying in H-Mart, most recent, and it is something that I feel very traumatized by due to the incredible descriptors in it. So I would say this is, you know, something that recently I've been really drawn to. And then Leonard Cohen, this is a book that his son made, and it's poems, notebooks, lyrics, and drawings. So his son scanned it all and wow. made a book out of it when he passed away, which I just love. My God. And so, and by the way, this is not that big of a deal, but the way that the book, so instead of it being normal paper, it's all like thick, rugged paper, which I love. So I would say a combo of these three things and then a blank moleskin and a black pen, you know, having the blankness and knowing that I need to continue writing and I need to put down my thoughts. That makes a big difference.
All right, cool. We got to wrap up in a second. Speaking of the writing, and you know, it's funny where this project was born at. Well, actually, where this project was born out of was I started doing something just for fun. I was asking people about their favorite life lesson. And then we started asking people, why are you here? And we'll get to that in a second. But it's Ooh. Interesting because what's really been interesting is talking with all the artists about channeling and how writing is so unconscious. And it's, it doesn't matter who I talk to. It doesn't matter how diverse they are as an artist. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, or it doesn't matter if it's, you know, whoever. They all agree. So for you, what's been your sort of favorite experience of channeling as a writer?
Ooh, I love it every time because it's true. It's a very out of body experience. My favorite.
Or one that's just been most memorable.
I think that there have been a few. Can I say a song that's on the EP? Maybe not. Why don't I say?
I mean, you can to us. That's up to, you know.
Why don't I say? That's a tough question in a good way, and not to totally, you know, have this be some sort of cop out, but. Every time it is a spiritual experience, every time, and the songs that are out, it means that that channel happened and that I felt emotionally connected enough in that moment to then release it. So I would say you could name any song and there was that emotional experience that went on, you know, that did feel higher than me, and truly you don't have any control over it.
It's all good. I know we have limited time, and you know, because you're about to win the Masked Singer tomorrow night, your life is a little crazy. So, but you know, we'll find another time hopefully where we can sit down and really talk about this.
Yeah,
it's freaking fascinating.
It is, you know? Yeah.
But cool. All right, so wait, Sage has never seen you live, and obviously you've made me cry live. So we're coming to either New York or LA. We'll figure that out because she's in New York, I'm in LA, and we kind of go back and forth. But for you, so we'll wrap up on the EP, which apparently you're not allowed to talk about that much. What songs are you most excited to do live when we see you in either New York or LA in the fall?
Oh. Art of Survival is a wild ride to perform live. I was fortunate enough to be able to perform it at Coachella when I was very pregnant. And even when I was very pregnant, I was running around, jumping up and down. And that's a song that I think when you hear it live, you understand what the intention is. And the intention is you're fighting for survival. You're not looking at survival and thinking, oh, what a beautiful art form. Your teeth are, your jaw is clenched, your teeth are, you know, rubbing together, and you are fighting for survival. And that is exactly what comes over me when I perform it. So Art of Survival, I'm really excited.
But how pregnant were you when you did it at Coachella?
I was 7.5 months.
Ah, Alice in Wonderland beat you. It's so funny. She's a good friend as well. Sage
really?
And I interviewed her together. She was 8 months pregnant on Coachella. We were like, dude, you're going to go on labor on the stage. And yeah, I feel like you guys really need to have a conversation about that because she's just a fucking badass woman as well.
I would love that. I would love that. Yeah.
Cool. Sage, you want to wrap it up? Is there anything that you guys want to add that we did not get to? Because I know we got to eat it. Well, I mean, look, you and I can talk all day.
I know. Yes. This is what we do.
Well, I know this is a major question and it's not a 2 second think, but Steve said it earlier. Why are you here?
I hope that I'm here to, show people that they're not alone in their grief and in their pain, and that it can look different for everyone. Yeah. I would hope that that's part of my purpose here on earth, but I'm still learning and growing and being a student myself. So I'm figuring it out as I go.
Cool. Anything you want to add we didn't ask you about? I love that answer, by the way. We did an interview together, too, with Samora Pinderhughes, the jazz artist out of New York, who Sage turned me on, too. And we had a long conversation. He did a show that's all about grief. That was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. I highly, highly, highly recommend it if you get a chance to see it. It's called Grief in Process.
Okay.
But again, we were talking about that as well. And it's true. Grief is such a, it's such a unique process. And there's just no right answer for it.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Oh, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for this.
It's a blast. Always.
I'll talk with you.
I can't wait to see Sage's Superhuman.
It's so damn good.
Oh my God.
And it's so funny because I was like, well, wait, maybe I'm biased. So I sent her shit to a bunch of other people in the industry and they're like, oh my God, she's amazing.
Coming soon.
But we can't wait.
I know. I can't wait for the intro song too.
We can't wait.
Yes.
I'll send it to you on Instagram because she probably won't, you know.
Sage, are you okay with that? It's up to you.
Of course, yeah. None of this stuff is out yet. I'm in that, you know, trying to figure out how the heck to release things stage.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah, but I would love to connect with you.
Yes, yes.
You're the best.
Oh, thank you.
Cool. And we can't wait to see you live. I expect you to make me cry again.
Oh my gosh, here we go. Thank you guys so much.
Cool. See you. Thanks. We'll see you later, Bishop. Bye.
Hey, this is Steve Balton. You've been listening to My Turning Point with co-host Sage Bava, special guest Bishop Briggs. Thanks. You'll get thrown away because you're super human. Proof is can be. I know the truth is. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football.
FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.